Welcome to fourthstream.com, where today we're going to try to answer the question, how old do you have to be to have God speak to you?
Well, it's pertinent because there's so many kids going back to school right now. And, you know, you think about all the responsibilities of school, but you're God's representative at school. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you think, maybe I got to wait till I'm an adult to really impact people for God.
Yeah, I have a distinct memory of being a three-year-old and knowing that God was real and that my heart needed Jesus. And so I really never underestimate that our conversations and singing may be having some sort of, maybe really touching kids in their deepest part, even though they can't say what that is, because their communication, their verbal communication isn't that strong, but their heart is aware.
Well, even when you say that, you've told me that story before, and I didn't come to know God till I was 20, but I do remember being in like third or fourth grade and just having this overwhelming sense that someday, you know, I would mm-hmm. commit my life to God, and it ended up happening.
Go ahead.
Well, I there are so many examples in the scriptures.
Like Samuel.
Yeah.
He was really young.
He was a kid.
So young that his mom took him, and every year she brought him a new outfit, basically.
Right.
But what's interesting is that when God started to speak to him, he didn't recognize the voice. He was so young that he would go talk to the guy he was living with and say, "What do you want?" And he said, "I didn't call you. Go back to bed." That happened three times. And then he finally realizes, oh, I need to tell Samuel to say, "Okay, God, I hear you. What do you want?"
So that's in 1 Samuel 3. Mm-hmm. So that's an example of a child. But it's really breathtaking how many teenagers there are in the scriptures.
Yeah.
And the first one that obviously comes to mind is Mary, Jesus' mother. I mean, wow, what an amazing person, you know, to take on the responsibility of being God's mom when you were a kid, and all that went with that for her. But she stood up and she believed what God told her through the angel Gabriel.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, your story does matter. No one walks exactly where you do or how do it. You're really one of a kind, and it's easy to forget that. It is one of Satan's most effective lies, I think, to think that our life doesn't mean anything, so it doesn't matter how we live it.
Or we're just like everybody else, and you just start feeling like you're just one blip on the radar with many other blips. But God is the one who created our individuality, and God has purposes and plans for us that are really reflected in a lot of these teenagers in the scriptures.
And there are really practical ways to have an invitational heart, because that's the big deal when you go to school or when you're wherever you are at games or whatever. You know, you think, what can I do? And there are little things you can do, you know, give people eye contact. By giving people eye contact, you show that you see them. It's the beginning of God, them recognizing possibly that God sees them. You're not asking them to be your best friend by giving them eye contact. And another really practical way of being invitational to people, letting them know that they're not unwelcome.
Right.
Have you ever not walked up to a group of people because there's nowhere to stand?
Yeah.
You know, like there are three or four or five people talking and
you feel awkward.
Yes. Or you walk up to the group because there's a place to stand, but nobody really moves their body language to include
you.
Doesn't really give you eye contact, and move just one foot. Not both feet, just move one open a little. You know, that body language says a lot about, yeah, come on in. Again, you're not saying, I want to be your best friend. You're just saying, I see you.
Well, in the invitation that you're talking about, there are a lot of ways that we can send out those invites to people. I think probably the most powerful part of that for me, which believe me, I didn't understand when I was going to school because I didn't even think about God. That whole idea that you're inviting God to go before you when you're at school.
Mm-hmm.
And the things that you're talking about, Bernadette, are the keys that God gives you to say, walk through this door, do this, make this move, extend yourself to a person. And you never know who that's going to be or what God is doing to facilitate that or motivate that.
And what I like about those things that I just mentioned, because they were things I had to learn in my life, is that they're really small adjustments that I could make. As someone who was kind of shy and reserved, they were adjustments I could make that included people without having to go up and start a conversation, because that is really awkward for me.
You can be really a shy and quiet person, but be very God aware and still experience the power of God in and around you in your school situation. I like this one here we wrote down. There's a God chemistry that follows his children wherever we go. He's always with us. No matter what age we are, we can count on the fact mm-hmm. that the presence of God is there with us.
One of the things I learned about that was he never leaves us, but I did go through a period, and I still do, if I ignore him over and over, then I can't hear him as well.
Right.
And I kind of forget what his voice sounds like. And it's not so much that his voice gets softer. It's that the other voices yes. get louder.
And there are many.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really awkward to be the one who doesn't know the latest music, or, you know, you can't wear the last immodest fashion or whatever. It's hard to be that person that isn't up and in the know about everything. But it's just important to choose those things carefully and give up some of those things and make myself put God in my day and allow some thinking time for him and some heart time for him so that the voice doesn't just disappear.
So the want to is the connecting, and then the invitation to have God walk by your side, and then being able to be directed by God. That's true for a 5-year-old. That's true for a 10-year-old or a 50-year-old or even a 100-year-old mm-hmm. like us.
You maybe.
Well, some stronger or strong younger men and women in the Bible that you can check out their stories. We talked about Jesus. Esther is just an incredible story.
Oh, my gosh. Yes, she was placed in a palace. This is one of the things I think is interesting, because one of the points is the world has changed one person at a time, and you're surrounded by people who need what Jesus offers. And I think about Esther. She was placed in a palace. She was beautiful, but the palace's ways weren't really comfortable to her.
Bad, very bad.
And yet the king found her beautiful, and she had huge sway with the people around her because she chose to be in agreement with God, not becoming comfortable in the palace. And I think it's such a lesson for us not to be comfortable, overly comfortable in our surroundings, and letting God raise us up and give us sway over people instead of us trying to do it, instead of us trying to be influential by being popular.
She's an awesome example, because she was in a very prominent and mm-hmm. public place. In contrast with that, what about Isaac, who was a teenager, and he goes out and submits himself to being,
a sacrifice,
you know, and being laid upon.
I just can hardly think about that story. You know, the other one I think about when you're talking about someone who was kind of disappeared, you think about David, who had all these brothers. And
he was the youngest.
And he was the youngest, but almost like he was a runt. He mm-hmm. was sent out to the pasture to go watch the sheep.
Yeah.
Almost like he wasn't as favored as the others. And maybe I'm reading into the story, but I don't know. Just when I read it, you kind of go, he wasn't even considered. When
right.
Samuel was looking for the next one to anoint.
Right.
It was like, really? There's no one else?
Well,
we got
else.
This kid out in the pasture.
Bring him on in.
And yet, God, you know, he learned how to hear God. He learned how to fight. He learned how to take down lions. I mean, the things that, you know, being the runt and being kind of the outcast possibly, and what God did through him is amazing.
Well, Joseph was a teenager, and what a story that is. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you haven't read in Genesis for a while, it's in Genesis 37. You mentioned David. Also Daniel and Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, teenagers.
Well, not only teenagers, but they were completely taken out of what they know as their culture. So you're leaving your home and going into—
And your families
and going into a culture that is completely foreign. And how do you find any kind of security in that? And there is a correlation there between leaving your family and going to school, leaving what you know to be godly and going into possibly an unfriendly surrounding. And how do you hang on to who God is and what you believe in that? It's hard.
And if you're a junior high or a senior high person listening today, I would really recommend the letters to Timothy, Paul's letters to Timothy, because they're so filled with good advice about how to stand firm and be strong in the midst of adverse circumstances, because Timothy was in adverse circumstances and Paul was encouraging him to hang in there and do what needed to be done. So it doesn't matter how old you are, you can be God's representative. Thanks for listening today. There's a few more things right down at the bottom of the screen that you can click on. There's some studies on different characters or whatever. I think that you're going to like it.